I don't know about you, but thinking about leaven, before tonight, I thought I understood leaven, but I really didn't. I understood a little bit about it, but tonight we want to talk about the parable that we find in this text in Matthew chapter 13. It's interesting to me that just prior to this parable, he spoke about the mustard seed. Not long ago, I preached a sermon on the mustard seed and how the mustard seed's relatively small compared to other herbs, and it's definitely the smallest of all the herb seeds. But when full grown, it's a pretty substantial tree. And we talked about the kingdom, and that represented the kingdom. It started very small and relatively insignificant compared to other things, but grew and is still growing today. And then this, the parable of the leaven. Often when we think about leaven, we think about it in a negative sense. We think about leaven and how if we let just a little bit in, it destroys everything. And that's not what's being talked about here. Matter of fact, it's positive. It's a positive thing that's being described to us here. Just like the mustard seed, it's talking about the church. And we're going to pull that apart tonight for just a few moments. Leaven is an ingredient that's used in making bread, and it works from the inside out. As I mentioned just a second ago, leaven is often used in the figure of speech, and it simply denotes inward working within the heart for either good or bad. And that's what we find in scriptures. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leavened." And so we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about leaven and what leaven does and what it can do for us today if we'll just let it. What was Jesus talking about? What was the application? What's the lesson for us when we think about this idea of leaven? As I mentioned just a second ago, leaven works from the inside out until all meal has been leavened. That's what most of you have seen your parents make bread. They cover it up. They let the yeast or the leaven sit inside the meal until it is risen all the way. And when it's risen all the way, we know that the leaven has mixed with the meal. And so it is. When we place the Spirit of God inside the human heart, it works just like the leaven does with the meal. Soon, before too long, our once hardened heart becomes soft, it becomes pliable, and is able to be used by God. But it doesn't just happen overnight, it happens over time. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Corinthians. Keep your place there in Matthew chapter 13, but turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know Brother Todd and Brother Jackson have done a good job. I've not been up here, but I've heard a lot of things about the 2 Corinthians class, and no doubt they got to this and talked about it and pulled it apart, and I'm not going to step on their toes tonight, but I do want to make just a quick and simple point. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 18, it says this, "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Again, this Spirit, the Word of God in the hearts of men can change us. I think all of us that are sitting in the seats tonight that are Christians can think back in our life before we were Christians. The things that consumed our thoughts, our minds, how we acted, how we reacted to situations. Hopefully as we look back on that time before we were Christians, or maybe when we were weak Christians, we can look back and say we are definitely different now than we were then. And that's because our hearts have been soft. We've allowed the Word of God to penetrate us, penetrate our hearts, penetrate our minds,
The Spirit of God has changed us. It's the very same idea that we find in Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2. I often quote this verse. We often look at it as I preach. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He goes on to say in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, there it is again. The changing of our mind, the changing of our thoughts, the way we think, the way we go through a situation, how we process information. That is to all be changed in our life by the renewing of our mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, leaven in meal works from the inside out. And so it is with God's Word. It works from the inside out as well. And often we get that process, we try to get it changed around, and we push appearance before a changing of the mind or the heart. But God's always intended for an individual to receive God's Word and have their hearts change. That's always been. God has always been at the hearts of man. Leaven works from the inward out. Secondly, the process of leaven is gradual. As I mentioned just a second ago, it happens over time. In bread, it moves from one particle to the next in meal until it's permeated all the parts of meal that there is and has been mixed with. You see, the leaven of the gospel moves from one person to another. One family member obeys the gospel, and before too long, another family member becomes intrigued and interested because that one individual in the family has started acting differently, talking differently, and interacting in situations very differently as well. One person that you work with, their job, they obey the gospel, and before too long, what ends up happening? People take notice. They want to know why that person is living differently, why they're not telling the jokes that they once did. And before too long, that one person has caused another person to take notice. You think about the community that we live in. The other day, I was over at the post office mailing a pen, and Mara was with me, and I started talking with one of the older gentlemen there. And after he left, another lady in behind me said, "You must be a preacher." I don't know how she knew that, but we began to talk. I didn't know this lady before. Hopefully she comes to services. But one person living the life that God has called them to live can cause a community to take notice. You see, we as we live our lives as Christians are somewhat like the leaven that's in bread. We start in a small area, but then grow from there. The gospel needs to be working through every one of us as Christians. Each member should be reaching out to his neighbor, to the one he works with the gospel. It's the same gospel, one to another. We don't teach and preach one thing to somebody and another thing to somebody else. It's interesting when we look at the text in Jude, and in verse 3, it simply says this, "Beloved," Jude in verse 3, "I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to all the saints." This gospel, it's a common gospel. It's meant for all. Don't need to be doctors and lawyers to accept it. We just simply have to have a heart that's ready and willing to receive the gospel. If we prepare our hearts to receive it, it can be accepted by each and every one of us. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 1, this idea of the gospel starting small and rolling from there. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 1, it simply says this, "Now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time, a great persecution rose against the church at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and they made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. And then in verse 4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches the same principle in verses 3 through 4. I mentioned this morning, it's that reason that we have verses like Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, about being the light of the world, about being the salt of the earth. It's why we find verses like that. Every member, every individual Christian needs to be doing his part. We start small, but then increase from there. Many of us are afraid to lose a friend if we speak up. Maybe a job, a position, a work, a source of income. If we just open our mouths and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned this morning, not too long from now, we're going to be looking at James chapter 4 in our adult class. In James chapter 4, and in verse 4, it simply says this, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I would ask the question this evening, but it's a rhetorical question. Which one of us would want to be an enemy of God? I already know the answer. None of us. None of us want to be an enemy of God. When we make friendship of the world, when we act like the world and we talk like the world, we make the world our friend, as this verse reveals to us, we become an enemy of God. We cannot be afraid to share the gospel with our friends. We cannot be afraid to stand for truth. Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 through 21, it speaks about a church that was lukewarm. We cannot be lukewarm in converting others to Jesus Christ. Some become selfish, self-centered. They've allowed their lives to be controlled by the flesh. And that's the reason they don't reach out. But Scripture reveals to us that all of us are to do our part. Leaven is a gradual process, one person to another. I think sometimes we expect huge things to all happen just at one time. When we talk about growth in a local congregation, numerically, that doesn't often happen. It happens one person at a time. Leaven also is not formed in meal naturally. We don't just buy meal and all of a sudden the leaven's in there. They don't sell it like that. You have to add the leaven in. It needs to be consciously added in order for it to react and act with the meal. The gospel is not of human origin. No man just simply came up with the Bible, these thoughts on his own. As men recorded by the Bible, the Word of God for us, they were inspired of God. They recorded what was revealed to them. And in God's Word, we find the remedy for sin. I mentioned this morning, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, how it is the power of God unto salvation. When we read it and we understand it and we apply God's Word, it can save us from sin. It's what it can do for us. James chapter 1 and verse 21 simply says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. I want you to understand about this text. We can receive God's word and it still not save us. Action is needed. Action is very much needed. As verse 22 reveals to us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so we need to take the gospel
The gospel needs to be taken by us into this world. As Mark 16 reveals to us, Romans 10, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've thought long and hard about this last point that I have on the board. The gospel should work through us. Work through us. I've come to appreciate over the years that God's character needs to become our character. It's not just a book of rules that we learn and we make check marks on. Okay, we didn't swear this week. We didn't do this week. Okay, we did this week. What we should be longing after is to have the characteristics of God. It's not something we just put on Sunday, but it's who we become. And that's why I have it listed like that. The gospel should work through us, radiate from us. We become the source of reflection of God's love to others. And when that happens, as I mentioned just a moment ago, people take notice. It's kind of interesting when you mix yeast with meal, leaven with the meal. Immediately it begins to have its an effect. So it is with us as new Christians. We can have an effect on those around us. It must be added, and that's important in the process. Are you adding value to the people around you? Think about that tonight as you leave and tomorrow as you enter into the workplaces. Last point tonight that we'll talk about just very quickly. In this parable, the leaven was put into three measures of meal. I've done a lot of study on that. I've actually wore myself out. Why three levels of meal? And I'll tell you, there's a whole host of ideas there, but I've come to appreciate one thing about these three measures of meal. I don't think they're really any significance to the three measures of meal. I've come to just appreciate that the leaven was added to three separate piles of meal. Why is that significant? Well, let me simply put it this way. I believe when we think about local congregations and coming on the coattails of the parable of the mustard seed and the growth that the early church saw. We just read a verse just a second ago that those who were persecuted went everywhere preaching the gospel. I think that's what it has to do with. Every local congregation that attaches themselves to the Church of Christ should be seeing growth, should be seeing all of these things happening, just like we would with three piles of meal where the yeast or the leaven was added to, all three would see the same effect. All three would begin to expand, would become what the baker intended them to be. All the leaven can't be just placed upon one area, but needs to be spread out. I believe that's why the Great Commission was given. We here in Greenwood need to be concerned with this area, but not just this area only. Wherever the gospel is being preached, our efforts should be spent, wherever they could be spent, to encouraging growth in those areas. Yes, we're autonomous. Yes, we have no governing authority over another local congregation. But when we can help, we need to. We need small congregations, not just two or three extremely large groups, but many local congregations, spreading and teaching the gospel in areas where maybe large congregations cannot reach those that are lost. And so it is. Large congregations sometimes have many individuals that are very talented. But because they're large groups, those talents go unnoticed and unused. I believe this is why we find the example of three measures of meal being used in this text in the parable. We need local congregations in every community standing for truth. It's interesting when you watch on the TV and some big issue comes up like same-sex marriages. We find maybe one individual who is usually the loudest being put on TV. And he claims to represent all Christians everywhere. That's not always true. But we, as an individual congregation of the Lord, must stand for truth. And hopefully all those other little small congregations that have been established and have been erected, hopefully they are standing for truth as well. I've really gleaned a lot from this lesson on leaven in my life. Leaven is both good and bad. Tonight's lesson, it was good. The right kind of leaven in a local congregation can make great and wonderful things happen. The right type of leaven in an individual's life, we begin to blossom and grow as Christians should to be acceptable to God. But the wrong leaven can destroy a local congregation, and it can destroy an individual Christian. So I hope that you'll be conscientious of what you are allowing into your minds, into your heart. Remember the example of this lesson. Leaven works from the inside out. What are you letting in your mind? What are you allowing to permeate your hearts, to settle in, to take root? It will either destroy you or it will build you up. The choice is yours. It always is. And I hope tonight that you'll choose to let the gospel settle into your hearts and in your minds, and that you'll move with action in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. I humbly ask of you, what's holding you back? God wants your heart. He's not after your funds. He's not after your money. He's after your heart. And I hope tonight that you'll give Him your heart, your whole life completely. You'll no longer chase after your wants and desires, but you'll live for Him. If you're here and you're a Christian, you've not been living right, there's no more acceptable time to take your shortcomings to Him than now. It's your choice. What will you do with the opportunity you have tonight? Hopefully, it's excel in the name of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, it's to be all that you can be for the Lord. And if it's been less than that, now is the time, my friend, to correct that. Come to the front while we stand, while we sing.